Hello, thank you very much for coming for the last session on the last day, and we already are losing somebody, so. Thank you to our online audience. There's probably a lot more of you online right now than there are actually here to be left over in Providence, but I really do appreciate you coming by to see this, and I'm convening my own session, I was told, and I think understand why now. The presentation today, we have the catchy title, but we've gotten involved in looking at IT procurement. So this isn't specifically about how green our data center is, so much as the supply chain, and it spun from that. So without much ado, I'm going to actually start right away. My name is Karen Warren. I'm Director of User and Technical Services at Wesleyan University, and I'm here today with James Taft, who's Assistant Director of Technical Support Services, and Mary Alice Haddad, who's Associate Professor in Government, East Asian Studies, and the College of the Environment. And we teamed up in an interesting collaboration. And basically, my role here is to sort of let you know how this evolved. And this little graphic is sort of meant to depict kind of how it all started. A gentleman named Ma Jun came, sponsored by Mary Alice, and came to the university. And Mary Alice approached us and said, this man has been doing amazing work in making this data transparent in China regarding IT suppliers and manufacturers there, and it rolls up, and you can get this data about how good stewards of the environment the major manufacturers are, and would you be interested in how does your IT procurement work, which if you're in IT and you have a faculty member come to you and ask you about your IT procurement, right there you're like utterly completely shocked. So off the bat we were completely interested in talking to Mary Alice, whose passion for the whole topic really got us involved as well. And when we had the opportunity to have our own private meeting with Ma Jun when he was on campus, and then I went and heard him speak to the larger campus community about the work that he was doing. And what blew my mind about it was how simple it is actually to access this information. So we've started brainstorming, and what started with Mary Alice coming to us about some procurement and ideas she had for, I want to build this here, can we do this? It started to grow into, you know, gee, what are our suppliers doing? And maybe we should be looking at that data to, I wonder if we pulled together, if that would be more effective than other schools. And then what's a good mechanism for talking to other schools and finding out about, you know, who they buy from and whether or not this information would influence their procurement? And then it evolved to a project that Mary Alice spun off with regard to looking at our own Wesleyan pollutant and that data and the transparency of that data. So what started off as, let's look at how responsive Hewlett-Packard is to looking at their supply manufacturers in China, has now evolved to this multifaceted project between both departments. So that's the sum total of my introduction to this concept, and I want to turn it over to Mary Alice, who's passionate and excited about the topic, and to show you some of the things that have happened. And then we'll turn it over to James to talk a little bit about the idea of doing really simple kind of collective pressure, natural market force pressure on some of these less responsive companies.
So I'm going to back up. Is it working? We're all set on the mic. Terrific. Back up a little bit and talk about what we've done at Wesleyan in terms of collaboration with Ma Jun. It's generated a kind of prototype website that's hosted at our College of the Environment called EcoTools. We're hoping that we're going to end up with several different kinds of tools, and right now we have two. One has to do with green procurement and making sure that your supply chain and the products that you buy, particularly focused on IT, are more environmentally responsible, and also one that looks at a mapping of our own pollution. I just want to give you a little bit more information about what Ma Jun, his product, has done in China and how I got involved. I'm realizing I'm talking to both mics at the same time, sorry. So my current research project, I'm in the government department and East Asian Studies, and I'm looking at environmental politics across East Asia in Japan, China, Korea, and Taiwan. And when I was in Beijing interviewing people about environmental politics, everyone said, go talk to Ma Jun, he's doing amazing things. Talk to Ma Jun, talk to Ma Jun. So I said, okay, fine, that's great. How do I get into Ma Jun? So it takes a little while to get into this very famous man. He was a journalist. He started off as a journalist, and in 1999, he wrote a book called China's Water Crisis. It's been termed to be the sort of Chinese version of Rachel Carson's Silent Spring. It really brought the problems of environmental issues, and particularly the water pollution issues, in China to public awareness and started to create a lot of public pressure to improve this really dire situation in China. He moved from being a journalist and an author to doing more advocacy work and started his own nonprofit organization called the Institute for Policy and Environmental Affairs, which is abbreviated as IPE. And in 2006, he was named one of Time Magazine's 100 Most Influential People of the Year. So you can see why it might have been a little hard for me to get an interview. So when I finally go into his office, and his entire office is about this big, because, of course, he's in Beijing, and he's running this entire operation. It started with three people, and he now has an office of eight staff members. And he was a very quiet, sort of soft-spoken man, and the more he talks, the more he hooks you into his vision. And his idea was very, very simple. It was to create a pollution and easily accessible pollution map of China. It looks like this. So you get a map of China, and you can go onto your cursor and click on a province and go down to the city level, and you can get the pollution levels there, down to the factory. So it's got two ways you could search. You can search geographically down below by the province or the city, and you can search also by the company name. So this was one way to get already, it's all government, official government public data, so he was able to protect himself politically and also gather legitimacy for his effort by using only public data and make that much more transparent to the world. One of the first responses was for large companies, in fact, a company that you might have heard of called Walmart, which has a few factories in China to the tune of 10,000 plus, was involved in a really big internal sustainability initiative, and they were having a lot of difficulty trying to figure out ways to do environmental audits on their own supply chain in China because there's so many contractors and subcontractors. So what they did was they teamed up with Ma Jun, and now they're able to run monthly audits on their supply chain using his environmental data. That initial partnership has spread out. He's changed the way his database is structured so that it uses change analysis so that any kind of corporation can go and work with his data to run audits on their own suppliers to make sure that those suppliers are complying with local environmental regulations. His vision for this is really extraordinary. As he sort of laid it out for me when I was sitting in his small office in Beijing, he says, you know, these transnational negotiations at the global level, they're really not going anywhere. These countries, they're deadlocking, they're not going forward. And in fact, a lot of the regulations that are already in place are pretty good. What we really need is pressure to make sure that these companies comply with the regulations that are already there. If we can just do that, we will be light years from where we are now. And then maybe we can get the companies, the countries, the regions, the transnational actors to start raising the level and increasing the regulation. But now what we really need is compliance. And countries like China and other developing countries have a hard time getting compliance. They have a hard time because their government doesn't have enough resources. They have a hard time because there are mixed incentives at the local level. And so trying to get these local factories to comply with the regulations is very, very difficult. However, if you can make public information and you can make the private market incentives push those companies into compliance, not just into compliance, but maybe even above compliance levels, then you can get real, real progress on this front. So his vision is entirely scalable. You could have this map of China. You could have one of Latin America, one of Asia, one of India, one of Africa, one of North America, one of Europe.
You could network all of these maps together, all these databases together, and then we as consumers would have a sense of the companies and the products that we're buying from, not just the product themselves, but the supply chain that was used to develop that product, whether or not that was made in an environmentally sustainable way. So I left his office, and I sat on my little subway on the way back to my small business hotel, and I thought, wow, I wonder what we could do to try to help further this effort. I bet we at Wesleyan could do something to help this vision come to life. So I talked to some folks at my university, folks on the IT side, folks on the administrative side, faculty who are also interested, and said, is there a way we could bring Majun to campus to kind of brainstorm ways in which we could bring this vision about? Initially, I had thought if he could do this for China with three people, surely I could do one for the United States with less than that. Turns out that it's actually just as hard to do one for the United States as it is for China. But we brought him to campus, had a lot of really productive conversations, and came up with two very concrete things that we as a campus could do to try to further his vision for positive change on the environmental front globally. The first thing was that we could make an environmental sort of eco-map of Wesleyan. I'll talk about that in a minute. And the second was that we could first use his data and his information about particularly IT procurement to help look at our own IT procurement and make sure that the companies that we were sourcing from had good supply chains in China, which is, of course, the largest manufacturer of IT in the world. And so if they have good relations in China, that's a very good sign. And then hopefully, if possible, and this is why we're speaking to the camera and meeting with all of you here, maybe we could serve as a model and work together with other universities around this country and maybe even globally, such that we are all exerting pressure on these IT corporations. One of the key things about Ma Jun's vision that I want to convey is that his goal is not to shut down these corporations. He's not interested in boycotting products. He's not interested in scaremongering and blacklisting companies and say, these guys are terrible, you should never buy from them. In fact, in his presentation at Wesleyan, he had a very moving and dramatic video of what the Apple suppliers were dumping into the water in China. It was just horrific. And you can imagine the Wesleyan students with their iPads and their iPhones and their iMacs looking at him going, oh my gosh, now what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to throw out my iPhone and my iMac and my iPad, which I love? And he said, no. And he pulled out his own iPhone. And he said, these things are part of our lives. What we need to do is act as responsible buyers when we're making new purchases, and once we have bought, we have a different relationship with that company. And particularly as large-scale buyers, such as universities, we have even more leverage with these companies to say, look, we purchase a lot of your products. You say that you're green. You say that you care about environmental sustainability. You need to act like it. You need to make sure that not just you, but your suppliers, your contractors, your subcontractors are all acting in environmentally responsible ways, and that you have management systems in place in your corporations to make sure that that will continue to move in the right direction. So one of the key pieces of his advocacy is that he's not looking to try to change or shut down these corporations. What he's trying to do is encourage positive behavior in them and encourage people to act collectively to pressure these corporations to move in the right direction. So many of you probably saw that as of January, Apple has finally released its suppliers, its list of suppliers in China. A lot of that had to do with his advocacy and the kind of pressures that were being put on these companies. So at Wesleyan, we're looking at our own purchasing, and my colleague will be talking about that in a minute, and our EcoTools eco-purchasing website has a link to Majun's list here, which talks about the various IT corporations. He's got a list of 31 companies that his that a network of NGOs in China contacted, and his focus is not so much on the actual production, but much more on transparency, because from his perspective, the more transparent the company is, the more green supply chain management systems are in place, the greener the final product will be. And it won't be just this product or that product, but all of the company's products and the corporate culture of that company will change in positive ways. So he's got a whole list of things that his organization has been in contact with these corporations, and he lists how well they have done. This is the fifth iteration of this project. It started in 2010. And so you can see how it's changed over time if you go onto his website and see how the lists across the horizontal rows have been increasing over time as he's been asking them to go deeper into their supply chain networks. So our second initiative on Wesleyan campus has been to create our own pollution map. One of our reasons for this was sort of ethical. If we're going to be talking about other people's pollution, we should be looking at our own. And another one was looking at his model and the way that you can create a social context for data so that it's not just your own energy bill that's coming, oh, I'm using a lot of energy, oh, this is kind of expensive. But things change very dramatically if you realize that actually not only are you using a lot of energy, but you're actually using the most energy on campus. Your mental shift there when it becomes a social environment and not just something that has to do with numbers on a screen or numbers on a bill have very powerful effects. So I had a group of students who got together and they used a beta program called Google Fusion Tables, and they managed to imported all of the addresses on campus, which then mapped very nicely using the Google mapping program and importing data from our physical plant, and they used some kind of complex conversion thing that I don't actually understand that converts all the data to a constant unit of energy usage, because of course the sources of energy are different, whether it's electricity or natural gas or oil or what have you. And then so for any one of our addresses on campus, you can click on it and it generates a cross-time performance. This just went live 2 days ago, and so we're still tinkering a little bit with the web presence, and we're also looking to be more innovative in how we can use these projects and these data to try to encourage better environmentally responsible behavior on our own campus. And I actually didn't think we would get this far this quickly, and the reason why we're presenting it here is as IT professionals on your own campuses, you have the technological tools to assist students who might be motivated in trying to make something on your own campus. And what we're hoping is that a lot of campuses out there can use our sort of mapping project as a model and create their own campus maps, and then we could create networks and learn from best practices and ways in which these campus pollution maps or campus eco maps can help encourage positive behaviors on our own campuses. One of the reasons why Majin thought that this was a good idea was because there are a lot of college campuses in China, and they also have data, but they may not have fancy GIS, ArcGIS software in which the more sophisticated versions of these things would be possible. And so this uses only freeware technology that anybody could use. So I will be turning it over to my colleague James, who has been working on the e-procurement and the procurement of IT products on our own campus, and also trying to use Majin's data and other information to try to add a little pressure to those companies that have not been behaving as responsibly as they could be.
I realize that you cannot read this slide. That's okay. I'm going to explain it a little bit. So when Mary Alice presented to us the work of the Green Choice Alliance, I was immediately hooked. Because while I've often been fired up by some kind of presentation of a global problem, so rarely has it been clearly paired with some kind of actionable solution. And the premise behind Majum's work with the Green Choice Alliance is simple. By publicizing the efforts of large IT corporations to keep their supply chains green, it provides the end users, that's us, with tools to reward and punish IT companies based on their environmental records. This slide shows the GCA report for a company with a positive rating. In this case, it's Hewlett-Packard. And it's very straightforward. It shows that the GCA contacted HP about the relationship with a China-based company that had environmental records violations, and that HP then responded with transparent actions to try and clean up their act, and so that they have a positive rating. This next slide is an example of a negative rating, and it just, in this case, it's Dell, and it started similarly to HP in that they were contacted, and that they, although they initially responded positively, that they did not show any evidence of a sustained effort to clean up their supply chain issues. In fact, they have not really communicated with the GCA at all. The Dell relationship is of particular significance to Wesleyan because they are our primary vendor for server hardware. This presents Wesleyan with an opportunity to be an agent of market pressure on Dell, and as Karen can attest to, I deeply enjoy being an agent of market pressure. And so, in fact, the prospect of telling a vendor that we are going to choose a competitor's product chiefly because of environmental reasons would be deeply satisfying. However, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself because that may not be necessary. This is a letter that I've drafted that we intend to send to someone at Dell. And I'm picking on Dell, but this is obviously just a stand-in for any company that is negatively rated by the GCA. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the first paragraph just briefly summarizes the issue. The second paragraph introduces the GCA and their mission with the expectation that the person who receives this letter might not actually be too familiar with Dell's history with the GCA. The third paragraph explains Dell's shortcomings, and then the last paragraph explains Wesleyan's position. And it's very straightforward. It says, Wesleyan's position on these matters is straightforward. If multiple vendors can provide a solution to Wesleyan's technological needs, we will favor the vendors with better environmental records. Dell's negative rating from the GCA relative to its competitors will put Dell at a significant disadvantage moving forward if the supply chain concerns are not addressed. Now, I wanted to word our position carefully so that we were appropriately stern without committing ourselves to a particular threat that we could not follow through on. My feeling is that if we do make specific threats that we cannot follow through on, that we would lose leverage very quickly, as my children can attest to. Part of what we'd like to discuss, though, is whether there's an opportunity to have a coordinated response to vendors, not just individual messages from Wesleyan or other institutions that might feel the same way, but some indication that as a market segment, higher education is prepared to make purchasing decisions based on green supply chain issues as publicized by the GCA. While I am somewhat hopeful, they might not rise quite to the level of optimism that letters will spur action. I think that if IT vendors begin to see that an entire market segment such as higher education, that they're losing sales from us based on what is obviously a coordinated effort to make purchases based on green criteria, I think that we could see results relatively quickly, which is the underpinnings of Majun's strategy, and I would like to be a part of that. And obviously we invite everybody else to do that too. And
so I guess part of being last, and with thank you, a very attentive and responsive few people in the audience. So I really appreciate you sticking out there and laughing at James's sense of humor and engaging in this topic. And for those of you that are still there online, I really want to encourage you, if you're interested at all in this topic, we haven't fully you know, approach the NORCOMP board formally yet. This is still new for us, but I'm fairly active myself in NORCOMP and talking with some board members and sort of floating this idea whether NORCOMP as an organization might be able to have a stance that sounds very similar to, the way James worded it very carefully, or whether just individual awareness to our institutions and just providing templates and some information to people to do that. If you have any interest, I'd highly encourage you to contact us, and we will make this information available through the EcoTools website, including, can we put a sample letter up there? Would that be? And so we can put some stuff up there and encourage you to contact us via those means and give it some thought. I know from my point of view, James and Mary Alice are wonderfully passionate, and I fall in the line of a concerned steward of the environment, but I don't necessarily have that consistent, sustained passion, but found myself saying, this is not a tremendous amount of effort. The information was already readily available. So I'm trying to sort of convey that idea that I understand it's busy IT and library professionals, and you're thinking, oh, I'm supposed to do this research now? And it was pretty trivial to go to his site and to look up that data in a matter of minutes and just be able to see negative. It's not a lot of effort, you know, and so, which sounds terrible to say that, gee, I don't want to put a lot of effort in, but I do understand the dilemma before you when you're like, how many more things am I adding in my day? And I think that this is a way to do it where I went, you know what? I don't know about you. There are a lot of competitors. And again, sorry to pick on Dell, and if anybody from Dell is watching, but there are. And frankly, we do have several factors that we all consider when evaluating some of these things, and that's going to be in there, and they should be aware of that. And I can do that. You know, I can certainly do that, and I think a lot of us can step up to do that. And the tools that Mary Alice was reviewing was just kind of sparking that idea that, you know, this isn't an investment. There's nothing that we really invested money in here. This is our current architecture, web tools, our WordPress environment, Google. You invested in student research assistants. That was it. And I think that was another big part of doing this is that there are things that we can do that don't have to go so far above and beyond what we're already kind of doing in our day-to-day life. So we're looking at next steps, individual action, collective action, approaching NORCOMP. If you have thoughts on that and you want to share them with us, we would love to hear it. And at this point, God bless you for hanging out. And any questions? We have a question from an online participant.
Yes, Ellen Borkowski, I believe pronounce it, said, will you make the process for making your own eco map available to others, and would you like to, who would like to do the same?
Well, I didn't know if you wanted to elaborate at all.
Yes, it's already, we just put it up yesterday, so the link on the how to make your own map is not quite working, but give us another day or so, and the instructions should be up there. That's our hope, is that it will be easy, and the functionality will be easy for people to transfer over so that any campus can do it. Thanks.
And is that EcoMap? Wait a minute, EcoTools.Wesleyan? Oh, Wesleyan.
EcoMap.
Yeah, EcoMap.Wesleyan.edu. And the EcoTools website, we can get out to you. Actually, that is Wesleyan.edu. Sorry, as soon as you can say. You can get there from here. Great. So here you go. Here's a link for you to start from that. And yes, and actually we really, certainly that's part of Mary Alice's mission, is that idea that this is organic and to go around. Any other questions online or here? Yeah. Oh, please. Oh, good. Yes. I saw all of you just nod, so I felt like there was a moment of community between us. Absolutely. The question from the audience was, can they sign the letter from Dell, and certainly, or to Dell rather, from us, and yes, we're looking for that. Anything else? Thank you very much. Thank you, those at home. Thank you here for sticking it out and for finding it worthwhile, and we really look forward to working with you. Take care.